I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
We are in a fifth generational conflict. For every lie they tell, we're going to get in their face and yell two truths.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Christ is King.
Hey, Lindsay. Yeah, we are right near the border with Russia. The Kremlin escalating its missile and drone attacks on Ukraine. And this morning, a dramatic twist. An upmarket district of Moscow under attack from a swarm of explosive drones. Explosions not far from President Putin's country residence.
This morning, the Russian capital under attack from a swarm of lethal drones. Explosions just 3 miles from President Putin's country residence, in videos circulating online. Here, one of those explosive drones clearly visible. Russian officials saying most were shot down, but buildings damaged, two people lightly injured. A Ukrainian official suggesting it's now not just Ukraine that can get attacked by drones. And overnight, the Ukrainian capital was hit by explosive Russian drones for the third night running. One person killed when this apartment was hit.
We can hear intense artillery fire not far from here. And these guys are waiting for the command to move.
Our team meeting this Ukrainian tank platoon readying for a major offensive.
Most of the tanks in the Ukrainian military are made up of these T-72 Soviet-era models. The Ukrainians now have an unknown number of British-made and German-made advanced tanks, but those tanks are being hidden from view.
Ukrainian preparations for that counteroffensive now in full swing.
Guys, Putin's spokesman reacting to that Ukrainian drone attack on Moscow, saying Ukraine was retaliating after Russia destroyed a key Ukrainian command center over the weekend. All eyes now on how the Kremlin will respond.
First of all, Florida's crime rate is at a 50-year low. That's just a fact. And it hit a 50-year low during my administration. But a lot of that is because local people, local government, local law enforcement done a good job. But it's hit a 50-year low while crime has been spiking in other places around the country. So we're counter trend for what's been happening in the United States. One of the main reasons families have moved to Florida since I've been governor is because of public safety, because they know we're a law and order state. So that's delusional to say that somehow Florida, you know, has bad crime. And you can see that in the migration patterns. People are leaving high crime areas and they're coming here.
Everybody got shot. Oh, my God. So many people got shot. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, no, man. I'm right here. I'm here. Oh no.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard to today's edition of Human Events with Jack Posobiec. I am your host here. Today is May 30th, 2023, Anno Domini. So I want to congratulate the folks and thank the folks at Real America's Voice, at Twitter, at Rumble for being able to work to get Human Events. Now we're going to be live streaming everywhere, every single day of the week, possibly on the weekends too. We'll be doing weekend specials, everything out there. And I want to thank the team behind the scenes that's been working to get this off the ground, even over the Memorial Day weekend. We've got a lot going on out there. We've got a lot to get to, and we don't have a lot of time to do it. So stick with us, because every day we're going to be giving you the waterfront, what's going on in the world, what's going on in the fight here for the United States against the global. You're seeing it right now. Drone swarm attacks coming down on Kiev, coming down on Moscow, trading blows over the weekend. And then I've even been talking to, and we're going to have Stephen K. Bannon on in the next segment here. We've also got Richard Barris coming up later in the hour, because I want to talk to Steve not only about this tactic, but also how does this play out for China, the South China Sea, vis-a-vis the United States military, particular the United States Navy. Are our aircraft carrier battle groups ready to defend against drone swarms and kamikaze drone attacks? I know people have been saying to me, Poso, don't worry, you've got the EMP blasts. We're going to have directed energy weapons. We've got all this Star Wars stuff. Yeah, show me. Show me the money. Because I see what's going on right now on the ground, and I question how this tactic will be used in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, it is logistics, not strategy. Logistics, logistics, logistics that wins the fight. Also now here in 2024, we've got the horse race up in full swing. DeSantis, Trump, both battling it out. They're on the ground. DeSantis is going to be in Iowa tonight. President Trump will be headed to Iowa on Thursday. What is the shift? Or is DeSantis seeing a bump in the numbers from the announcement last week on Twitter? He's doing sort of a new kickoff this week in Iowa on the ground, a more traditional kickoff after, and shall we say, a little bit outside of the box kickoff that he performed last week on Twitter. We're also going to be getting into the race on the second tier. So DeSantis right now is trying to kick out of that second tier, break through from those VP ranks. He's going for the main seat. He wants to be president. But President Trump is up in pretty much every single poll, actually every single poll that I've seen. And that's why we're going to have Barris on to talk about that. Then we're seeing also on the VP tier, Nikki Haley, Tim Scott battling it out in New Hampshire over the weekend, taking shots at each other. RFK Jr. is out in the mix. We're going to play into all of that. So stay tuned here on Human Events Daily. This is where we are going to give you this unfiltered, raw. This is directly from us to you. You know who we are. You know what we're about. The New York Times has already been going after us, if you see this weekend. They listen. They listen very, very closely. Well, I have a message for the New York Times and all the people over there. We haven't even begun to get started yet. Wait till you see what we have in store for 2024, New York Times. Because we know that there's one thing that the regime wants. That's total control, and the only way they can achieve it, the only way they can have total control is total control over the information battle space. And that is where we are standing in their way every single day, whether it's on social media, whether it's on terrestrial media, traditional media, new media, independent media. This is the rise of the independent fifth generation warfare and fifth generation warriors. It's like every single person within the sound of my voice right now, because we're not going away. We're not shutting up. And every time you punch us, every time you try to take us down and fail, and believe me, folks, they've tried to take us down. They've tried to take me down. You know what? Every single time, I keep coming back stronger. Stay tuned. We're right back.
When I grew up in the hood, I rolled with Bloods. And them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trimatazole, it's a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
I'd really like to thank President Biden for cutting us with the bumper music there. We've got a few very special bumpers, a couple of rejoiners that we've made. Now, unfortunately, folks, we did have a switch. You know, live TV, you know how it goes. Stephen K. Bannon is currently working very closely on this debt ceiling, these negotiations. So we're pushing him off to later in the hour. But graciously, the people's pundit himself, Richard Barris, is now with us. We're very excited to have him on. Richard Barris, thank you so much for joining us here on the inaugural show of Human Events. Very excited to have you, man.
It's an honor, my friend. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me.
All right, so let's get right into it, because I know you've been polling throughout the weekend. I've been following you, but I deliberately didn't pick up my phone to call you this weekend, because even though I was chomping at the bit to, I'm like, I want to hear Richard's numbers. I got to hear. He's always got the hottest stuff. But I said, no, I'm going to save it for the show. I'm going to save it for when he's on, because the audience needs it. I want to deliver that value to the audience. So the main thing I want to hear, man, Ron DeSantis. He has the announcement last week. This thing, we were told originally, it was kind of interesting. We were told originally that it wasn't going to happen until June. We were told that it wasn't going to happen, but then suddenly it happens in sort of mid-late May, really before the summer recess begins. A lot of people saying, does that mean that it was rushed? Was it moved up? There was talk about he was going to have a kickoff in his hometown. That got scrapped. He ends up doing the Twitter thing. And obviously it runs into technical difficulties. You know, did they run a test first? What was going on here? And so the question is, you know, was that rushed? Whatever. That being said, you're the man with numbers. Let it lay it down for us. Bump or slump? What are we seeing in terms of DeSantis and the numbers following his announcement?
Yeah, short answer, slump. It is. And the longer version of that, Jack, is this. You know, it's a little bit amateurish if you're going to be honest. You don't overpromise and underperform in politics. And for 2 months, as DeSantis's numbers just continued to slide, we were being told, wait until the announcement. He hasn't announced yet. He's going to get this increased surge when he announces. If you're going to paint a singular event as that defining in a campaign, then you better come through. And to give us some indication, so we didn't have to wait until the weekend, although the weekend confirms it, but we asked about 600 voters when he announced. Do us a favor. Watch the announcement on Twitter, where, you know, when you can, and let us know what you think, and then answer the primary question. And actually, what we saw is that he lost a point. It was very confusing to certain voters, especially older voters. They didn't get it. They just didn't understand it, Jack. You know, barring the technical difficulties, they didn't understand why he would do it this way. Some of the younger voters who were giving him a look, you know, I'm starting to use this term as has been suggested to me, credentialed voters, right? You've been credentialed by academia. They're the ones who have been giving Ron DeSantis a look, or did months ago, and then switched back to Trump. For them, it was, where's Ukraine? Where's immigration? More detail than immigration. Where's foreign policy? It was a bit of a sycophant fest, right? So you have all these supporters just like throwing questions like, why are you so awesome, you know, at the candidate? And that's not how you win voters. It's just not. Jack, you know. I mean, the idea of an announcement.
I mean, so here was my take on it. And I tweeted this.
Yeah, go ahead.
I tweeted this during the actual episode, or during the, you know, the announcement. I said, look, we know what Governor DeSantis's policies are when it comes to domestic policy. We know where he stands on wokeness. We know where he stands on DEI. Some of these acronyms, by the way, to your point as well, maybe, you know, they might be familiar to those of us that follow this on a day-to-day basis, but to the casual voter, I spent last weekend in Pennsylvania with my cousins, with my, you know, we went to a horse show, we went around, you know, they're not thinking about DEI, CRT, that's not the kind of stuff that they're talking about with, you know, over the table, regular basis. They talk about prices. They know, let's go Brandon. They know about Trump. They know about all this. They know who DeSantis is. They generally like DeSantis. But in terms of this super in the weeds policy discussion, I just don't know if that's the kind of stuff that connects with your casual voter. And the fact that it was online, the fact that he's covering ground that I believe that he's already known as a champion. I mean, I get that you want to emphasize your strengths, but you also want to show who are you when it comes to the job that you're going for, the job that you're applying for. We already know who you are about the job you have.
Yeah, I think you have to in an announcement, especially if you're a governor, like you said, that's a domestic position. You have to, you know, and speaking of academia, what they would call it, you know, when I was coming up is, where's the presidential justification, right? Why are you the man or the woman for this moment? And it can be only you and nobody else. And if you're a governor, especially, you have to have some kind of foreign policy chops. You have to show that you're going to be competent in that area. Now, for an announcement, you're not going to accomplish all of that, but you have to start to peel away those layers. And then eventually you get on the campaign trail and you deliver it. Look, the fact is, I hate to say this, but I don't say this very often. I think I agree with the New York Times now that the polling, and we'll have new ones released this week, now that it's in and I can see it, Jack, this man got his bump months ago. And then he mishandled Ukraine with Tucker. He mishandled how to respond to President Trump's indictment by the Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. He just stumbled along the way at a period when he was already getting scrutiny like a presidential candidate always gets when they finally announce. And then also for the last 48 hours, 72 hours, it's been brutal for them. It has. You know, they made COVID. They chose to make COVID a centerpiece of his campaign. And, you know, that's not really, I know they view it as a strong issue for him. But the fact is, there are a lot of people who don't agree that DeSantis was as quick as he should have been. So, again, he's got a small chunk right now. It's about 15% who says, you know what, I'm mostly MAGA, but maybe I'm looking to move on from Trump. That's the vote he has been losing. That vote has now really solidly gone back to the former president. And then what he's left with is a small share of the moderate vote and, in fact, not even a liberal vote. So wait until we dig into some of these numbers. But the former president's dominant with conservatives now. He's dominant with self-identified Republicans. There are some open primaries. But, Jack, the lane's not big enough. This is something I think I really need to say.
We're on our first break for a segment, but I do want to hold you over because I do want to get into some of these numbers. And I think you're right. I do think there was a vote. There was a bump after the midterms, immediately after the midterms. And then people started focusing on, look, this is the social media era. We are all under scrutiny all the time. And you either strike when the iron is hot or you bide your time and you choose the time and place of battle. Stay tuned. We are going to come right back here. Human Events Live. And we're back, Human Events Live. Now, we do have the great Stephen K. Bannon joining us. But before I go to Steve, I want to play a clip of one of Steve's best friends. He's a former colleague working in President Trump's administration. It is, of course, the one and only James Comey speaking out on MSNBC today. Let's play that clip.
So if Donald Trump were reelected as someone who worked for and alongside the man, what is your sense of the potential danger of his being in the White House, again, if you see it as a danger?
I think he poses a near existential threat to the rule of law. He will do everything he can in a new term to try to tear down the institutions that he sees as threats and to dismantle them and the people who occupy them, the apolitical people who occupy them. So there is a lot on the ballot in 2024 if he's a candidate, but the rule of law, in my view, is at the very top of the list.
I'm going to pull the whole thing down. I'm going to bring the whole diseased, corrupt temple down on your head. It's going to be biblical.
Wow. Steve Bannon joining us here, Human Events. Did you hear James Comey right there
hold
on
it,
that clip?
Hold it.
He's
hold
saying.
It. I heard an F-bomb on the clip. Is RAV during the day? Not on watch like they are on my show. I heard the F-bomb.
We're going to have to have a word about that. We're going to have a word about that.
Hold it. Hang on. I want to congratulate you
we're
on the
We're getting into it all.
It's amazing. 2 o'clock. But I got to say something. On your first show, during the big block from 10 to 3 o'clock now of Populist Nationalism, War Room, Charlie Kirk, Jack Posobiec, you know this is going to be a historical document. How does Bannon get bumped as the first guest for Richard Barris? I love Barris, right? I love Barris. But hey, you know, I even alphabetically I'm in front of Barris. Tell me how that works.
Well, yeah, you know, Steve, like we got to put over the new guys. You know, this is all about putting over new show, new guys. You know the old guard. You know, the old guard is you know, they're looking at the horizon already. They're looking at that horizon. But look, I got to get you. What is your take? Is Comey actually running scared in that clip right there? What is that?
No, it tells you about the lawfare. They know they can't. You know, Richard's gone through the numbers, and he'll come back and go through some more numbers in a minute. They're looking at the same numbers that Barris is looking at. In fact, they're looking at Barris's polling. They see the fact that Trump is on the rise. Trump is going to be dominant here. He's going to dominate in the primary. He will win the general election. And by the way, if we get this spending bill right, he definitely won it. They're trying to take that away from him. But the debt ceiling bill. But they're going to try to stop him with lawfare. This is why you're going to see a Jack Smith indictment on him on Mar-a-Lago for conspiracy, not the actual initial thing they went after him for. You're going to see another indictment coming out of Georgia. So you're going to see two more indictments,
see,
given also
that,
the one he's got in New York. So and he's saying an existential threat to the rule of law. This is the most lawless guy.
Existential threat to
ran the most lawless institution. Yes.
He's explaining what is actually saying the quiet part out loud. He is saying that Donald Trump, if he is reelected, he will be the battle axe, the wrecking ball to the entire administrative state. And they know this.
Of course, Trump has said it. Remember, Jack, you and I talk about the CCP all the time. President Trump disagrees with us slightly. He thinks it's a major problem, enemy of the United States. But he says the number one existential threat to the country is the administrative state. Comey, Clapper, Brennan, all of them, they're coming for Trump in the biggest way possible. That's why we got to be firing off the football after Trump wins. We need a landing team of 3,000 to 4,000 people. The Cash Patels of the world in that deep bench and back of them have to be ready to go right away. I mean, right after the election, the transition team in November, December of 2024 have to be ready to go to hit the deck plates running on January 20th, because it's going to be Stalingrad every day. And it's Comey just told you, he called it existential threat. These guys will do anything to stop Trump and anything to make Trump's second term untenable.
Well, and we know that he did. This is the guy who was the quarterback of Russiagate, the quarterback of the Steele dossier, the quarterback of the investigations, which, of course, his firing then tees up the Mueller investigation. Because, Steve, you know, when we started the show playing this, and I know you and I were chatting over the weekend about these drone swarm attacks, we saw these kamikaze drones, drone swarms, raining down waves of them on Kiev. Then Ukraine responds with drones, and these are on wealthy suburbs of Moscow. These are Putin's elites. These are the oligarchs of Russia. These are the high rollers, the heavy hitters up there. They're getting hit. And so I'm looking at this new tactic back and forth, but I'm also saying this is a super weapon. This thing is getting through everybody's defenses. What happens, and you got, as a naval officer, you got to think ahead. What happens in a South China Sea scenario, and I know you and I did the Memorial Day special all about the future of modern warfare, these drone swarm attacks would be absolutely devastating in a South China Sea scenario. We don't have time for somebody who needs on-the-job training as the next president.
You talk about Section 60, as we talked about over the weekend, the honored dead of Iraq, yes, and Afghanistan. They had to open section. People have to understand, the drone swarm the CCP has, you can see it playing out in the battlefields in Kiev and in Moscow right now. They put a drone swarm, which they will, on a carrier battle group in the Straits of Taiwan. You're going to sink a carrier battle group. You're going to open up two new Section 60s just for the dead of that one battle. We're going to have a battle bigger than Coral Sea, where we're being hit by every direction. And quite frankly, we can't even get a meeting. The feckless Biden regime can't even get a meeting with the CCP. People should understand. This week, I know the debt ceiling's taken up all the airtime, but there's a major developments on the war against the Chinese Communist Party. The war against that, they will not even meet in a neutral territory with the heads of our military. That tells you how much they're planning to head towards a kinetic war.
Look, you're going to see a situation in the future here. And yeah, they're talking about this. Blinken says, oh, we'd be open to China. Well, have you reached out to them? Have you actually made any phone calls about peace? Because I watched that entire G7 and they're all slapping Zelensky on the back. Great job. While there's how many tens of thousands of people lying dead in Bakhmut, you guys lost there, and now you're driving forward to the next one as if nothing happened. Stephen K. Bannon, we got 1 minute. Can you hang her or do you have to bounce?
I've got to bounce. I got to get ready for the show, but I got to go take care of my hurt feelings because you started with Barris. I got to go lick my wounds here to get ready for the afternoon show on the War Room, brother.
Knowing
that I'm the backup, I'm cool with that. I'm good. I'm all good.
Look, we're sending really you back good to the bull. Look, the War Room's got a pretty deep bullpen now. The bench. You got Natalie Winters back in D.C. She's
deep,
running the show out of the seat. You know, what can I say? Stephen K. Bannon, he's just like, you know, he's just becoming the ringmaster at this point.
An elder citizen you called. Congratulations on the new show. It's so great having you during the day, following Charlie. 5 hours of populist nationalist intensity on Real America's Voice. Jack, I'm so proud that you got this afternoon show. Be back on.
When I grew up in the hood, I rolled with bloods, and them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trim out his outlets, a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
Okay, we are back. I want to thank President Biden again for bringing us in. Now we also, let's go back. So Richard Barris, you were hanging out there. Rich, you know, well, yeah, what can I say, man? Sometimes the young blood just has to rise up a little bit, and you gotta push back against the old guard here and there. What can I say? It's his fault anyway for letting us have microphones in the first place.
The early bird catches the worm, baby. What can I say?
All right, I know.
Right.
But so when you and I had left off,
yep.
You were talking about these numbers that we're looking at, the movement in the numbers, the shift, or maybe shift back in a sense of these voters, because remember, we're not just talking about the key voters that have come out in a Republican primary. We're also looking at the type of voters, and I saw you tweeting about this over the weekend, and this was the one that was most fascinating to me, and I just locked onto it like a laser beam in my mind, of the Trump Obama voter. The guy, particularly in the Rust Belt, because we know those are the key states. This was the area that those Romney, Ted Cruz, George W. Bush, McCain types, they could never play in this area. And while they could run up the percentage in a red state, they're running up the percentage in Texas, they're running up the scoreboard in so many of the red states, that they're not getting the same shift that we saw in the Rust Belt. And of course, I say this as the son of the state of Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth there, that we always would come like, it would be a nail biter until the very end of the election in all of those elections that we saw, and we could never get those crossover voters, and then suddenly Trump is able to pull it off. What are you seeing with those voters in particular, and then just sort of the entire board?
And you just said it, there's a real lack of appreciation for what the former president was able to do in 16. And then even if you consider, we're talking a couple, tens of thousands of votes over three different states that gave Joe Biden the presidency when, like you just said, George Bush, maybe he could get close, but he'd repeatedly fall shy. John McCain just got crushed. Mitt Romney crushed. So this is the voter that there's no evidence that anyone but Donald Trump on the Republican side can win. And, I think Steve said something in the last segment that's worth repeating, which is the Jim Comeys of the world and others, people are even smarter than him. They're looking at these numbers, Jack, and what they're seeing is what I'm seeing, that this vote, there's two groups, the Trump-Obama or the Obama-Trump, whichever one you want to label it, and then the Trump-only. And what they're seeing is that without Trump on the ballot, that Trump-only vote is likely to stay home like it did again with Mitt Romney and in 18 and in 22. And then the Trump-Obama vote, which went back, even some of them were Obama-Trump-Biden. And that is now back to being an Obama-Trump-Biden-Trump voter. So they're coming back. So every time we ask people, Biden voters, who did you vote for? Who would you vote for now? Between 8 to 12% of Biden's vote says, I made a mistake, I'll vote for Donald Trump again. And then if you ask that of Trump voters, less than 2%, it's statistically insignificant, say that they would vote for someone other than Donald Trump. So the net gain is, we're talking about millions, Jack, depending on turnout, we're talking about millions of votes in a net swing back to Donald Trump. And I just want to point this one last thing out, which is, if this, when we're talking about the dominant lead he has in the primary right now, yes, it's politics, and yes, anything can happen, but nobody has ever had a lead this large, even this early, and went on to not be nominated. That's because there's something significant statistically about being that far above 50%. You now have to not just win undecideds. You have to change people's minds who are claiming to be decided. And the sampling error gets much, much more, the window is narrow. The lane is smaller.
Well, let me drill down on that. So you're saying there's a smaller lane, particularly for the governor, if he's able to pull those persuadables. And it's interesting, by the way, that, of course, Iowa is the first state, but Iowa is in some ways very close to the Rust Belt. I wouldn't necessarily consider it a Rust Belt state, but there are some voters that track that way. You see this crossover of the Obama Trump voter. Now those weren't necessarily you wouldn't necessarily call them industrial workers, but what you see is in terms of farmers. And you were actually tracking that specifically as it comes to their view of DeSantis. What did you find?
The problem, and by the way, 31 counties in Iowa alone that were Obama Trump county. So it's the state with the most pivot, what we call pivot counties in the country. And again, months ago, if it was 2-4 months ago, some of these people were looking at Ron DeSantis like a younger version of Donald Trump. However, I can't stress this enough. They don't anymore. So now it went from Jack. This is how bad it's getting. It went from 2 or 3 weeks ago from us talking to voters and them saying, you know what, we love you as a governor, just go back to Florida. It went from that to now not being sure they love him at all anymore. I mean, he's really on the verge of hurting himself going forward. They just don't like what they saw. And you can't make their – he took some hits to his normal arguments too. Trump had bad personnel decisions. Well, okay, if you're going to argue that you're going to do better with personnel, then you better put together an announcement that isn't a complete and total disaster. Very first person we talked to that night said, how are you going to run a country if you can't run a campaign? And that was it. They swapped back from DeSantis to Donald Trump. And by the way, 12 hours later, endorsements were flipping, was citing the same logic. So it's just it's a steep hill to climb. And I would say this, Jack, if this was anybody but Donald Trump, the media would be declaring an end to this primary. That's how dominant. They know it. I know it. Believe me, folks, they know it on Fox News. They know it elsewhere. They're just trying to damage Republicans' chances of actually winning come the general election. But there's a reason why.
I'd like to say something about that. Because and we've got about 1 minute left, and this is the danger, and I've been talking about this since November. This is the danger of igniting a civil war on the right, is that what ends up happening is that you get both sides tearing each other apart, and then eventually one of the camps stays home in November. Rich, before we go back to you, I want to tell everybody a quick message from our friends over at Public Square. Guys, are you tired of the woke corporations and exhausted in trying to keep up with all the virtue signaling when you're simply trying to buy products? Yeah, I think Target and Bud Light are finding out about that right now. And how about the LA Dodgers? Progressive corporate America continues to push messaging that is alienating conservative and just normal Americans, and they're eroding the future of the American dream. It is prominent all over the country. Companies like Starbucks strong-arming their customers.
I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
And we're back again, live TV, low clock stuff, guys. And remember, though, are you tired of progressive corporations like Target, like the LA Dodgers, like so many others trying to keep up with all the virtue signaling when you're just trying to buy a product Bud Light? Progressive corporate America continues to push messaging that further alienates conservative and just normal Americans while eroding the future of our American dream. It's prominent all over the country. Companies like Starbucks, they're strong-arming customers to support abortion. Financial services like PayPal, yeah, they're going to cancel you for your political views. And then makeup companies like Maybelline are making a mockery of women by supporting transgender models. And, of course, we know about Bud Light and Target and the gender ideology, etc. Thankfully, we don't have to waste our money with these companies anymore and hard-earned dollars, because we have Public Square. That's our solution. It is simple. Join the Public Square movement of millions of Americans who are patriots that love truth, our country, and our Constitution at PublicSquare.com. Public Square is an app and a website where you can get connected to tens of thousands of businesses from all different industries that share your values for life, family, and freedom. Whether you want to buy coffee, find new athletic clothing that knows what a woman is, shopping for clean skincare, just find a new restaurant in your community that will not be lecturing you about your political views, just go to PublicSquare.com as a resource. Public Square also offers discounts to many high-quality businesses on the platform so that you can actually receive incentive for spending money with companies that don't hate you. Public Square is free to join as a customer or as a business owner, and you can get started today. PublicSquare.com. Just download the app. Public Square, publicsq.com. I want to get back now in with Richard Barris. So, Richard, we were talking before the break And we've got about 6 minutes left here, full segment. I want to hand over to you. Talk to me more about these counties and the way they're viewing Governor DeSantis, these Obama-Trump counties, because I find this fascinating. I also find it interesting that the media, the political media, Politico's got a story up today saying that, Wisconsin, it was all about abortion, and Republicans can't win now because it's about abortion. So they'll at least talk about that in terms of how Wisconsin went in 22, but they never go into and talk to the people. I've never seen them actually cover the story as to why all of these Obama counties flipped for Trump in 16.
You know, the abortion, they make a lot of that, Jack. And the truth is, there is some danger with DeSantis' strategy that he makes himself unelectable in those Rust Belt states and the Mid-Atlantic, and even in parts of the Northeast, by the way. Why does Trump do so much better in Maine, too, as opposed to other Republicans? It's another great example. But if we're sticking in the Rust Belt, Wisconsin, perfect. You have Sauk County, Door, even counties where Trump doesn't win, but he tightens the vote margin like no other Republican can do. We call it lumberjack country, Ashland, Bayfield, and the northwest of Wisconsin. And this really comes down to, while abortion matters, this comes down to Trump being a different kind of Republican on immigration and trade. And that's it. A lot of Republicans talk the talk on immigration, but not many are going to come out and not only release a statement, but voters believe Trump when he says, I'm going to write an executive order that ends, automatic citizenship for illegal children, to the children of illegals. But trade, you know, not for nothing, but we haven't even begun to get into it yet. When Trump goes all over the Rust Belt to Iowa and he talks to these farmers and he tells them Ron DeSantis was not a fair trader, he was a free trader, and he did whatever Paul Ryan told him to do, TPP, etc. That stuff may not hurt you as much in a Republican primary, although it certainly would now more than it did 10 years ago, but it will kill you in a general election. And look at counties, another one, a great one, where it's the home of the Reagan Democrats. Macomb County and Obama County, which Trump carried not once but twice. Republicans repeatedly lose it. Nothing bad to say about Tudor Dixon. Probably a big part of why she lost was the RGA did not help Trump gubernatorial candidates. She lost Macomb County, right? So anyone with an R after their name continues to lose Macomb County, which you need to offset getting clobbered in Oakland next door. So that's why, again, I said it in the prior segment. It really does. It's worth repeating. It bears repeating. What he did was an incredible feat, winning those states. And a lot of Republicans are just pretending as if those states are always going to be competitive. They're not going to be competitive. Who it is, who the candidate is perceived to be, and
you're,
yeah, go ahead.
That's so exactly right, because
he's easy to turn into Mitt Romney.
We saw this in, and look, I've said this before since we're doing the new show, I'll say it again, that I was not a McCain voter and I was not a Romney voter. I wrote my father in, and I'm a conservative guy out of Pennsylvania, but I just didn't think those guys had what it took to actually go in and do anything. And I got to imagine that there are millions of other people out there like that, that are either they're going to stay home, they're going to be turned off, or they're not going to just come out. And so in terms of the persuadables, sure, you can find persuadables, but that is that's a suburban strategy, and it's the exact same strategy these guys count. Voters are busy. Voters are not stupid.
Yes.
If they take one look at you and they say, you know what, this guy can actually get something done, versus, you know what, this guy's some lawyer, I don't trust him, I think he's flip-flopping left and right, they're just going to tune out and they're going to go back to work, they're going to go back to something else, they're going to go back to what they're doing, versus, and I'm going to, by the way, on tomorrow's show, we're going to get into this more, the micro-targeting that's going on by the left on these issues of abortion, on these issues like trans stuff, that they know they can bank these ballots in because of the way that they've changed elections in our country. Why do you think that they changed these states specifically for 2020? This was their target all along, right? It's very clear when you actually look at it from that perspective. Why was it that Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania had the most stringent lockdowns going all the way through 2020? Under their Democrat governors like Bill Evers and Tom Wolf and Gretchen Whitmer, and why did they implement the most universal mail-in ballot. It's like, wow, you have to be, so you don't have to be Richard Barris to figure that one out, kids.
I mean, you think it's very obvious
until the end.
Yeah, you'd think that would be very obvious to people, but even, you know, 2020 was one thing. Okay, so it caught you by surprise, but then 2022, it happened again. So I really can't believe that we're still here with some Republicans not understanding the game has been changed. And again, you know, there's, as you said it before, I want to bring this up. It isn't, divisive primaries are not good, especially when there are incumbents or quasi-incumbents in the race. That's why the Democrats are doing everything in their power to stop RFK from even, you know, participating in debates, or they're moving up South Carolina so that there isn't close states where people can compete for cheap. So really, to wrap it up, it isn't guys like me. No, it is not historically. It doesn't make you stronger. It weakens you. And the money you're going to spend on a primary and the time you're going to use, you need
Rich
both.
Barris, People's Pundit. We love you, Rich. And we're back. Now, guys, I got to tell you that here on Human Events, we're doing a live show now. And the live show, it's a lot more high energy. It's a lot more action-packed. It's tactile. There's a lot of stuff you can sink your teeth into, and it's not a lot of time. So how do you get the energy to be prepared for all that? How do I get the energy? I'll tell you right now. This show is powered by Blackout Coffee, and you can be too. So go to blackoutcoffee.com/POSO and use a special promo code. It's called promo code POSO20. Why is it POSO20? Well, that's because you can now get free shipping with promo code POSO20. So you just go to blackoutcoffee.com, and I tell you, they sent me 4 bags of it recently. We've been working our way through. I think we're down. Producer Angelo, do we have, we're at the end of the first bag, and I've been drinking it all week. And let me tell you something, this thing with POSO20, you get 20% off with your first order. So you get 20% off, and you tell me whether you like Blackout Coffee or not. I'm gonna tell you something, it powers us, it'll power you. You are going to love it. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to have a conversation about ballot harvesting, because there was a saying that they drilled into us in the military, and this was key. Logistics wins wars, not strategy. Logistics. If you have, and you are able to key break down your logistics and pinpoint the logistical failures of your opponent, you're going to win. You are absolutely going to win. So, in terms of warfare, we're talking politics here, of course. Strategic, operational, tactical. On a strategic picture, it's about, okay, are we going to go into a fight or not? Are we going to, what's the messaging about that? All of it. But you know something? What has the left been focusing on? What have Democrats been focusing on? They've been focusing on the operational. They've been focusing on the tactical. They know they can't win with their message. They know their message is nuts. When you look at the stuff, when it comes to whether it be Target, whether it be Bud Light, etc., I know we mentioned. By the way, there's some terrible people. They're doing this new thing at Targets now, and I hope that nobody does this, because it's just so awful, and I can't condone it. Where they're actually, I've seen people going viral on the internet saying that they're going into Target and then putting all of the Pride merchandise into one shopping cart, taking that shopping cart all the way to the checkout, going to checkout, getting all the payment processing, the protection, you need a protection plan, right? And then the minute that after it's all rung up, they say, oh, you know what? I left my wallet in the car, then go out to the car, never come back. And that is just so despicable and so awful that I would never condone it for a second that we use tactics like this to defeat the left. I just would absolutely never condone such a thing. I would never condone. And definitely don't wear a mask and make sure that your car is outside of camera view, because, of course, the cameras will pick you up, because the only person that can't be picked up on cameras is the January 6th pipe bomber, even though actually it turns out he was picked up on cameras. The FBI knew about it. The FBI even knows his license plate, apparently, and yet somehow can't track this guy down. It's amazing, isn't it, folks? It's amazing. Look, our elections have changed in this country. In specifically these key states, the ones that I was talking about with Barris, the ones that we know are going to have to be flipped back regardless of who the nominee is, those laws are on the books now. They'll be on the books for
for 2024. And so what the Democrats are doing with their new laws is they've turned this whole thing into a ballot harvesting operation, micro-targeting influencers, ballot harvesting on key issues. So you don't, people say, what's going on with this millennial vote? What's going on with this Gen D vote? And I think we're going to have Tyler Boyer on tomorrow to really break down this for us. But it's not about shifting all millennials. It's about shifting all Gen Z. It's about collecting enough of their ballots. What issue do you need to micro-target them on to the point where they will fill out a ballot and send it in for the candidate of your choice, the candidate that you tell them to vote for? The only person that I've seen completely gung-ho about this is Scott Pressler. And we're going to make sure that we get Scott Pressler on, and we're going to make sure that he is on as much as possible. And you have to give this guy as much fire support as you can politically, because this is the new game. If you're upset about the debt ceiling bill, if you're upset about the border, if you're upset about whatever you're upset about, whatever it might be, right? We talk about immigration. We're going to talk about immigration more. We're going to talk about Mearsheimer's warning, this idea that the United States is currently hurtling towards a two-front global conflict. We're already in a proxy war in Ukraine. We're talking about potentially escalating the South China Sea, the Taiwan crisis, into another open conflict, where we're at the point where I'm wondering what is going to happen with these drone swarm tactics and the ability or the possibility for a U.S. aircraft carrier to lie at the bottom of Taiwan Strait with the 5,000 sailors and officers aboard, because that's terrifying. And you need to understand it. And you need to also understand that the next person in the White House could determine whether that happens or not. So following back, working backwards from there, what do we go? And where do we go? It doesn't matter how good your messaging is. It doesn't matter how much you care about your candidate. If the other side is going to beat you tactically, if the other side is going to beat you tactically with ballots in those key strategic states that you need to win, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how good your rollout is. It doesn't matter how good your statement is, your policy statement. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how great plan is. President Trump says that he would end the Ukraine war in 24 hours. Okay? But to get there, you have to play the game the way the game is set up. And I hate it. I wish it wasn't like this. I'm the kind of guy, I believe one man, one vote, paper ballots. I would go all the way back, voter ID, all of it. But in these blue states, and even some of these purple states, which are now trending blue because of these tactics, you don't have the ability to change any of it. So what do? You got to play to win. You got to play to win. And you can't complain. You can't get mad. All you can do is get better and come back and keep fighting. If they bring 2,000 mules, we bring 10,000 mules. If they put drop boxes outside every beer distributor, then we're going to put drop boxes in the back of every church. And we're going to put drop boxes outside of gun shows and in gun stores and at gun ranges. And we're going to put drop boxes everywhere we legally can within the confines of the United States. And by the way, please, please try to sue us over putting drop boxes in churches. America has been voting in churches as long as we've had the United States of America. So gear up, New York Times.
When I'm working long hours, I'm always listening to Human Events with Jeff.